We're back, everybody.
Yeah, welcome back to another episode of Master Debaters Presents Was It Worth It? But this is a bit of a different one this week, Ethan. Why don't you tell everybody what we're going to be talking about?
Well, we did promise we'd watch and see The Dead Zone, which you should be listening to right now. However, because it is such an impactful movie on the on the lives of so many young people, including the presenter of this show, Toffer, I'm back again as the guest host, Ethan McKinley, to discuss again It. Did you not have enough of It last week? I certainly did. I think I don't know. I think we've done better shows. I didn't kind of. I think because I was so like washed over and unmoved by it in a sense. There are some good elements to it. You are certainly right that the first half with the kids is great, and I think
falls on its arse after that.
It falls on its arse after that. But we're back this week because, as we said last episode, the weekend following that, last weekend or this weekend just passed rather, It 2017 came out. A complete reimagining, remodeling.
Don't call it a remake. It's not a remake. I've had many arguments on social media this weekend about it.
Well, I think we can delve more. Now, I think this will be better because now I have an understanding of looking up more on Wikipedia, understanding more about the book and the story.
Yeah.
And, you know, what Stephen King was trying to achieve with that book. I think we'll have a much better time discussing it. Now I've got more of a geography in my head of of both films. So, yeah, I know I've said I think we do better shows when I don't make notes. However, I've actually made notes in this because there's a lot of stuff I wanted to actually bring up with you.
I have as well. I couldn't have been more excited for this film. I think other than this, it was the build up to The Dark Knight was possibly the most excited a little fucking 17-year-old Toffer had ever been until this point. I could not wait for this film.
What was that based off Batman Begins liking it so much?
Just based on the Joker coming back.
Okay. I think, well, just to go off topic a second, everyone's kind of going, "Oh, who's going to be the next Joker? Will it be Jared Leto? Who's going to be this?" And they're going to do a Scorsese-produced version, you know, with the guy that directed the Hangover trilogy, Todd Phillips, I think. And I think that too much pressure is now put on to, like, they make it almost Shakespearean, going, "Who's going to be the new Joker?" I think all the Joker incarnations, including Jared Leto's, have been fine. I don't know. It's just like,
They're just completely different takes.
Yeah.
The two Pennywise incarnations have sort of been...
There's lots of fighting online over who's better, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah. But it's very similar to the Joker. That came up a few times today when I was doing a bit of research. So it happens with iconic characters, though. People hold on to certain characters. And they have, especially with Tim Curry, like, he's very, very... people fucking love Tim Curry. So
yeah.
old Bill Skarsgård had an uphill battle.
He did. Well, I think we're going to get into it during the show. I mean, how much of it is performance and how much is he helped by kind of CGI? Because there's a lot of impossible physical things that he kind of does in the film. The new Pennywise, this is. Whereas Tim Curry was very reliant on just playing.
I'm sorry. Did you just say he? Did you just assume his gender?
I did.
Don't fucking trigger me. Don't fucking trigger me. I've read the books, mate. Don't trigger me.
Apparently, if you assume Pennywise's gender or any of the actors playing them, you hate Jews.
Right then, Ethan.
Yes.
We've been doing this show together now for a couple of months, right?
Yeah.
I am going to take a stab in the dark and I am going to say that you thought this was okay. I'm going to guess you didn't love it.
Do we have to wait till the end till I tell you, or?
Yeah, and I'm going to guess. This is just me guessing because I don't know. I might be completely off base, but I'm going to guess you thought it was okay. You didn't like the CGI, but you enjoyed the bit where he went massive and he came out the projection thing. That's my guess.
That bit I thought perhaps was a bit too much, but no, I fucking loved it. It's the best film I've seen in the cinema or a film for a really long time. I think it was Streets Ahead of the TV movie, even though they've kind of gone down the same track. There's no back and forthing to their future or past selves, like flashbacks and flash forwards, which I think is wise. It's been split into two. I thought all the kids across the board were really engaging and really good.
Not all of them, not you, Stanley.
Is that the Stranger Things kid?
No, he was the best one. Fucking Stan, the Jewish kid.
Oh,
who,
no, with
who,
with the,
who
with
can't
the,
show emotion.
With the fat mom. I don't know, I kind of liked him. He was kind of
was
like
Eddie?
The foil.
Come on, Ethan. Come on, Ethan. Eddie's the little one with the
ass. Oh, yes. I don't know. He didn't Stanley's have a lot to Jewish do with one. As well. I mean, there's one massive mistake I think they've made, which I think I'm going to get to and get into, is, the black kid was barely in it until like nearly the end of the film. You're like, couldn't they have peppered him throughout the film?
He's not really a massive part. He becomes more of a part of the book when he's grown up because he's the one who does all the research.
Yeah, I'm glad
and
I saw
brings
the,
them back together.
I'm glad I saw the original 1990 version because then I had something to kind of marry up with or put it up against.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know, I think because it starts off with him as an adult. What's his name, the black character?
Mike.
Mike, yeah. Mike, as an adult, is at the start. He's the one that doesn't actually leave the town.
He's and a narrator, and he threw out the... Oh, he's dropping notes.
So, no, I thought they're really good. I thought the girl was amazing in it. She was enchanting and lovely and brilliant.
Be careful.
And I... Oh, well, you know what I'm going to say.
We're not going to get into that. Well, I'll cut all that out.
I honestly think... It was handled so well, the kind of like the budding romances and their friendship.
Yes.
If they did it correctly and maybe just panned away from it with the suggestion of, I think they could have pulled off the orgy scene, which is in the book, Good Night in the Film.
No.
Not based off her being hot or completely fuckable, but just the fact they were so like...
Connected
and like it was so well done that the build up of their friendship, they actually cared about them, and you could go, all right, I could give this a pass if they all bang this chick at the sewers get you to fight.
I will say they were older teenagers. Like, I don't think I was that far advanced as a 12-year-old. Actually, I don't know how I might have been.
No, these remind me exactly of who I was at 12 and 13.
Yeah,
I couldn't catch a break. I was like the funny kid who said the wrong things that no girl would be interested in. Is she in the book and the film? Is she meant to be older than those boys? Because she certainly looked much older than them.
No, she's the same age.
Okay, yeah, because she
the only older
girls mature. Girls mature later. But yeah, she was weirdly cute. She's not cute in real life. I've looked her up since. I'm like, oh, she's a ginge. But she was.
There's nothing wrong with that. What the fuck's wrong with ginges? Are winners, man.
It's because you are. No, I think she was very charming and disarming in the film. So it kind of. Yes. Her and I know, I think all across the board, the entire cast were really really good. So let's begin.
Let's do your brief analysis of the film. Brief analysis, and then we'll go into pros and cons.
Well, it's this book apparently took 4 years by Stephen King to write, and it was his biggest kind of Lord of the Ringsy type Tolkien-esque giant tome until he came up with The Dark Tower.
Yeah.
I mean, I asked you this question last week, like there are things like the orgy scene, which don't seem right to be even in the book for some reason. But do those things even work in the book? Because a lot of King's work becomes very like weird and pervy. And why book editor didn't take that out? But apparently he was doing loads of coke at the time, wasn't he? So
yeah, there's another weird bit with the bullies.
Yeah,
you know that the one that looks like Kylo Ren.
Oh my god, I was gonna say that dude, why couldn't they have got him for Kylo Ren? He would have had less of a giant horse face to fit in that tiny helmet.
Well, his character is like a sociopath in the book,
right?
And he puts a pillow over the face of his baby brother, and he gives Henry a hand job in the book.
Which one's Henry? Just because
mullet bully.
Okay.
Yeah, he gives him a hand job and offers to suck his dick. So I'm glad they kept that out of the book, out of the film.
So he's the driving force of requesting that stuff isn't Henry. Why does Henry let that happen to him then?
Out of curiosity, I think.
Okay.
He just lets him wank him off for a bit and he's just a bit dumbfounded. And then he does the obvious, gay. That.
So
yeah, I would say, as I was watching it, I'd say it was like a Stand By Me meets Nightmare on Elm Street.
It was. That was even more evident in this version because I think all the nightmare-y stuff. I mean, we said this last week, so I'm repeating myself. But this book was written in 86.
86.
Nightmare on Elm Street's 84, and there was very much a kind of like Freddy Krueger-esque.
Well, it's in Nightmare on Elm Street 5's reference in this film, isn't it?
Yeah. In Derry's the cinema, and it starts up in Lethal Weapon and Batman, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's
boy.
Good stuff that was.
I was going to say that when it came on and it went June 1989, because I went to see it with my mom on Saturday. I nudged out and went, Batman came out that month.
And there it was.
And then it was, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, no, I really, really like the film. I'm concerned perhaps about the sequel if it's just gonna be like all the adults. And I think, I mean, I've written this in my notes that I think now this has been a gigantic hit. It's a 35 million budget film.
He's fucking smashed it, ain't he?
Yeah, it's done 117 million, and this thing only opened, I think, 3 days ago on Mon on Friday, September the 8th, was it, or the 9th?
Thursday night it
Okay,
opened.
so in the 4 day period, all right, let's say call it a week, it's done 117 million. Foreign gross is 62 million, so it's domestic total as of September the 11th, it's done 179.
185, I've got.
Oh, you're on 100. Okay, so I did my notes 2 days ago, so it's 185 million, and that's like 4 or 5 days after it opened. So yeah, it's a gigantic hit.
Yeah, boy. So let's do some pros then. You've mentioned other things, but what about old Billy Skarsgård? What do you think?
I thought he was really good. I think there was a bit of Heath Ledger's Joker in there, but
Yes.
I think no, he was generally very good. I would have liked to have seen Will Poulter, the British actor who was originally cast, but now looking at pictures of both of them, Skarsgård's got this weird, starey kind of gigantic, bulging eyes look.
He can do that weird fucking bongo thing as well, can't
He can. He can make one of his eyes go lazy, which
he? Yeah.
we'll get to. But yeah, I think Will Poulter, I don't think. I don't know how they would have, I would have been interested to see if they'd done makeup tests on him because he's got quite small eyes and would he have disappeared in that gigantic.
Maybe he's got. Yeah, I did see him in Detroit a couple of days ago as well. But the less said about that, the better. Not a good film.
Yeah, no, I thought he was really good. I think the thing you can most put it up against is that initial scene where he comes out of the sewer, which I think was very well handled.
Hey, Georgie. Yeah, his voice was
Hey,
good though. I
Georgie,
thought.
like popcorn?
Hey.
Pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, that is dialogue straight out the book as well, and I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's did he bite George's arm off in the book though? Oh, he
Yes,
does.
but
Okay.
in the book, they find the body, so then they know that he had his arm ripped off.
So what does it do with the bodies then? I thought it ate the bodies.
I think it eats parts of them and feeds on what it needs to.
Okay. The same way
I think.
Tombs eats livers and stuff in the X-Files.
I think he kills. He ki well, he kills for he kills to feed, and he eats. I don't. Yeah, I don't think he eats what he doesn't need to. Like you see at the end, spoilers. There's things floating, which mint. Why didn't the fucking put that in anything else? I don't even think they float in the book. They're just all wrapped in webs. Fantastic idea to make them actually float.
Yeah, I see. You think getting rid of the spider aspect of it was
But they do sort of creep a bit of spider legs into it down there at the end.
it reminded me of the thing when little Georgie was kind of turned back into Pennywise, and there was all these kind of like tentacles coming out of his where his arm was cut
Yeah, it
off, and
looked good
then
though, didn't it?
he had those two big like crab-like claws that he was hitting the ground like a Starship Troopers bug, or even like we said, the
Yeah,
thing.
Starship Troopers, that's it. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, that's not a bad shout.
So yeah, no, I read the Wikipedia on the actual creature Pennywise, but it didn't really say that it was a like this intergalactic like demonic entity that is, if you look at it, you'd interpret it as a kind of spider-like shape, but there's nothing you'd have a reference for. It's very much like a Lovecraftian unknown horror thing that you'd like, read in a H.P. Lovecraft novel.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what they do for the second one, how they kind of depict him in these kind of final things. Because in full disclosure, the original 1990 version, ladies and gentlemen, this kind of claymation, stop motion type TV budget spider comes out, and they essentially throw some silver at it and then run after him, flip him over, and pull his heart or his brain or his soul out.
They just keep the shit out of him.
After being this like elemental, evil, unstoppable force that can get inside your head and like kill you and eat you,
It's just this weak spider.
they just dispatch it so like ever so quickly. One thing I want to bring up is there was a leper in it.
Yes.
Is the leper in the book, or is that the replacement for
Yes.
the werewolf?
No. The leper's in the book. Apparently, what's the director's name? I can't pronounce his last name.
Oh God, now he's
Don't
asking
matter.
me.
Director man.
Andrew someone.
Originally, that wasn't in the script, but he fought for the leper because.
You needed a something.
It needed something for Eddie to be scared of, and that is, yeah, he sees that. But in the book, the leopard does ask Eddie if he wants to suck his dick.
Okay. Andy
He's like, yeah.
Machete, that's it. He directed Mama, the Guillermo del Toro
Yeah, not a bad
2000.
film.
Yeah,
It's all right.
I'm halfway through it, the
Yeah.
2013 kind of horror film.
Yeah. Yeah, that is in the book. But yeah, the leopard does ask Eddie to suck his dick. So that's weird. So I'm glad they kept that out. Although that would have made me laugh.
Well, the left was more kind of stomach turning, wasn't it? So yeah, I think because there was this, I guess it was like a Stephen King, what he was afraid of as a kid. So it was all the universal monsters essentially in the book.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
All of that was taken out, I guess, maybe for copyright reasons, or it's just
the mummy made a very brief appearance.
Right.
At the end, with Ben, he grabbed his face, didn't he?
Maybe, because it's made so much money, they'll get more money to play with. Maybe they'll get the werewolf in flashbacks, or he'll get flashbacks maybe. As an adult of the werewolf. They'll put it in that part of the film. Is the book itself split into two halves, kids and then adults, or is it going back and forth?
No. It goes backwards and forwards. I mentioned it last week. It goes backwards and forwards. And the two final confrontations with Pennywise are back-to-back in the book.
Right. So the TV version is a truer, closer adaptation.
Yeah. What do you think about the way he moved? I thought it was class.
It was good in like the sense that when like it was that painting and it kind of recoiled back up one of the pipes and then came back out as him. When it moved back, the hand was still on the side of the pipe, and then that would move away, almost like a spider, the way it would carefully place its feet and then move like slowly up the pipe and stuff. But no, the way he moved, the way he unfurled himself out of the fridge.
Apparently he trained with contortionists to be able to... Obviously, he couldn't do the fucking thing out of the fridge, but like the way his body moved and how awkward and unsettling he was, I thought that was class. That was a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the reviews I've seen that are criticising it say it's gone for these... Like, Red Letter Media have done this, and like a few others saying it failed in that... Every time there was a scare, it was always like just screaming and that kind of like Inception horn.
Every horror film seems to do it now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like the Insidious or Annabelle creation effect, isn't it? Where it's like jump scares. So they criticize it for his jump scares. But I'm just thinking, like, would it have worked? It was more if they were, God, I'm going to sound dumb saying this, but cleverer with it. Because I think when he attacks, it's meant to be this shocking, terrifying thing. Like all the things kind of really got me when he was being chased through the library.
And he's just running straight at the camera. That bit shit, I don't like that. That unsettled me, where he's just screaming and fucking running at you.
Well, even before that, when it was the Easter egg hunt, it was like when he follows the Easter egg trail, the smoking Easter egg, and then that kind of headless body, which I didn't get until the second episode. When he's looking at in the library book, he sees the boy's head in a tree. And I didn't get that. And I was like, oh, that's the head of that boy that must have been blown off and it was stuck in a tree. But when
from the explosion, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
When the body of the boy, the burnt headless body, is like walking at him in that judgery weird fashion, it was very much like a Silent Hill, wasn't it? The film and obviously the video games, like those little kind of like baby midgets, and then it turned into Pennywise. I thought that was perhaps the second or third most effective scare. The third being when Georgie's kind of being puppeted, as it were, in this cellar,
and he just pulls him down.
And then he comes tearing up out the water, and then the eye rolls backwards in the head, so it looks like a skull in his head. He's like, they did it very like insect like, the way the head would like just move out of shot.
Yeah, very Beetlejuice as well, the way he opened his jaws.
Yeah,
like the Maitlands.
I was gonna say I saw it with it wasn't like a black audience, but I was surrounded when I saw it in Manchester by black people. If like it was the most fun ever. They're so like reactionary. They were like all these chicks were like screaming at the screen. It was amazing.
Well, I think a lot of people say that though. You judge the film on who you see it with.
Yeah.
I saw it with my mom, and at the start of the film, Georgie says to Bill, he says, "Right, I'll see you later," and then it went quiet a bit, and my mom just went, "No, you will not."
I think also perhaps not since that era, it really captured teenage or young friendship as good as maybe Stand By Me or like E.T. or a Steven Spielberg type film. It felt very Spielberg. Yes. I think that was the most successful portion of it.
I just like the look of him. I liked his hair, his ginger hair, his goofy teeth. And I loved how weird and quirky they made him, because it was like every time he was on screen and his eyes would wander off, you could tell that it's, well, that's obviously not what its truest form is, and that's just a mask.
Yeah, no, that was good. It's almost like when it was stopped being operated and the eyes kind of went dead and the face went...
Yeah, and its true form was trying to come out. I thought that was brilliant. I thought that was unique. And
well, so
they couldn't have done that in the other version, but I thought that was a nice little aspect.
When he's ready to attack, it can't be like using its consciousness or... It's you know, it's brain power to operate this body.
Something deep just takes over.
Something else is about to happen. It's like, he's taking his hands off the controls, as it were.
But you could tell as soon as like it started and like Georgie got his arm fucking ripped off and it was savage. Like straight away, it was like fucking hell, boom. The tone of the film is so different, and that's it. we're fucking balls to the wall. We're gonna fucking rip kids up, and this is gonna fuck you about.
No, it was when the arm came. I was like, oh god, they're really going for it in this. I'm surprised they were allowed to do that with a mainstream, because it is a mainstream film. Mm. Like with a kid, when you see like his arm rips off and the blood in the rainwater on the road.
He was really... dead good as well. That little kid. I don't know who he is, but he was class.
Your float too.
Yeah, scary little bastard.
Pop, 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 pop.
But then we go on. We meet the losers. So I've got other than Stan and maybe Ben, because Ben wasn't brilliant.
Was that because he wasn't brilliant, or he didn't have a lot to do? Because they seemed
he didn't have a lot to do. Yeah, like I mean, they gave him the history gimmick because they took it off Mike. And gave it Ben, which I understand because Ben's the library kid. He spends all the time in the library.
But he had that kind of like the, you know, the secret admirer poetry kind of storyline. So do you think perhaps he already had that? So why not give?
Didn't have much to do, did he really, Mike?
No,
I'm glad they took the racism bit out because it's set in the 80s and you don't really need that.
Well, you had probably more racism then than you do now because they, you know, it was obviously 30 odd years ago nearly. I'm surprised when the bullies are beating him up, they weren't saying the N-word or anything. It's just like I think it would have made it them more hateable. One thing I'll say in this, and we'll get to the sewer bit, like, and the reasons the way they are, I think the bullies in the old one, even though maybe maybe they were a bit more hateable. All the chances they had to make these really, absolutely, apart from the bridge scene when they were cutting into his stomach.
Yeah.
They didn't seem as, cunty?
he did murder his dad in cold blood.
Now, does that happen in the book?
Yeah, exactly the same way as well.
And when he gets dispatched, you get in the TV version, they all get killed by this giant, like, glowing jellyfish thing, don't they? And dragged into pipes. Yeah. Now, is that book accurate, or is the film book accurate?
No, they chase him through the sewers.
Yeah, I kind of missed that. I think that would have really kind of been better because apart from the Kylo Ren dude, who was killed by the kind of like the mine zombies, the victims of the original It.
Yeah.
All their spirits. He was scared and then he was obviously killed by It. Owen Teague, sorry, Patrick Hockstetter, the Kylo Ren looking one.
Yes.
Without the horse DNA. Yeah, so Jake Sim, who played Belch Huggins, Henry Bowers, played by Nicholas Hamilton, and I think Logan Thompson, who played Victor Chris, those three remaining bullies, I would have liked to have seen them got their just desserts. It seemed odd that Henry Bowers, killed his dad with the knife. Although and then he kind of just got shoved down a lift shaft. Does that mean they're going to bring him back, maybe?
He's got to be, because he's in it when he's older. He gets sent to a mental home.
He's
convicted of the killings.
So when It is talking to him, like in the moon, that's the older version. Okay, that's the one bit I was like, huh?
Yeah, Henry Bowers admits to killing all the kids. He says, yeah, it was me, I killed all the kids. Obviously, he gets done for killing his dad.
Right.
And he's sent to a mental home, and then It still talks to him.
Right.
It comes back and obviously starts telling him, it's like, oh, escape.
Oh, okay, that makes sense then.
When the balloon was on his... Well, when he lost his knife and he couldn't find his knife, I was like, oh, fucking hell. I hope they did the gift. Because he sends him, that's actually the way it is in the book as well. He sends him his knife in a little box with a balloon tied to it.
Right.
And then kills his dad the exact same way. So I was very pleased with that.
And at that moment, because he's got the knife, he's influenced by It to kill his dad. Or his dad's an abusive person in the book.
Yeah, his dad's abusive anyway. He's not a copper in the book. He's a farmer. And that's why... the Bowers family hates Mike Hanlon's family because they're both farmers and Mike's family moved there and sort of took more of the trade. So that's why there's like a built up hatred between those families. So Henry's dad just like years and years and years tells Henry that, oh, it's the Hanlon's fault. He obviously uses different words.
Yeah. As it's Stephen King in that era and doing lots of coke, is this a sexual abuse father-son relationship?
I don't think so. I think he just scares him and bullies him and makes him piss himself and stuff. The sexual abuse, the abuse is for the other family. Hello, Beverly.
So Beverly's the sexually abused one. Okay, understood. Yeah.
I want to make sure you're still my little girl. No, don't do that. Don't do that.
So technically, when they were saying she's been around town, it's kind of half right. She's just only been with her dad.
Just the dad's out of here. Yeah.
Oh, look at us laughing at child abuse. We're going to
la 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 la. But yeah, I thought for a 2 hour plus film, I didn't think it dragged. Not for me. People have told me it dragged, but for me, it didn't drag at all. Like it was like scene scare.
Yeah, no, it was nicely peppered throughout. I mean, a lot of, you can't win really, but I think a lot of people said the middle sags, but I thought it was fine. And I think people then complain going, well, they just have like this like, oh God, what's that insidious type in each other scare every fucking 10 minutes, basically. But I think, I know, I think really across the board, it was like a Steven Spielberg film with monsters. I mean, even better perhaps than Stranger Things. Like I said, they captured that, like the united friendship thing. They handled it kind of really well. That's what, I don't know. I think because they like built, I actually thought they're going to do the orgy scene because they'd established it.
Just you going, come on, please do the orgy scene. Please do the orgy scene. Oh.
Because it looked like they were going that way. It's just like, oh, she's the girl. All the boys are kind of hung up on her stuff. He's sending love letters. She's already kissed.
There's that weird bit where they're all staring at her.
Yeah.
She's lying there. So, yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
And at the end, when he kind of kisses her, is that like some reference to Sleeping Beauty? Like true love can break the curse or something? Or
probably, yeah, probably.
Is that, would that be the point in the book that they started razzling each other?
It's to do with them becoming one, though, isn't it? Like, they're leaving their childhood behind and becoming adults.
Yeah.
That's all that shit.
I like Ellie Kasprak's mom. Is she in a, like, what is she in the book? Because in the film, she's like this greasy, like, filthy-looking obese woman.
No, she's not there in the book, no. She's horrible, ain't she? She's, like, grotesque. In the book, she's just like this really overbearing mom.
I actually thought it was Melissa McCarthy, but I looked it up and it's actually not. I thought they tried to disguise her in like this kind of ugly role with like makeup and like the rapist glasses and stuff.
Fucking rapist glasses? Yeah, that the chemist has got.
Yeah.
You look like Clark Kent.
And then actually when the chemist thing happened, when she's like, what do I look like with the glasses on? When he was going, oh, you look like Lois Lane. My audience in Manchester went, oh, he's a pedo.
Yeah.
Someone shouted that.
You fucking pedo.
But he's the father of the female bully. Is she something in the book? Because she didn't seem to get any of her just desserts, either by the kids or by it.
No, she's not really. She's not really a part of it because he's Mr. Keen. The Keens have got a lot of history in the book, but I don't think she's in it much. Because she sort of tells him that he's inhaled as a gazebo, didn't she?
placebo. It's a gazebo. Yeah,
it's the bloke that does that. Sits him down and everything. Right, I have got the apocalyptic rock fight was tremendous.
It was, but I think, oh God, I can't believe I'm saying this. I think the original was slightly better because it seemed to be over very quickly. The other boys ran off and I don't think they cut. He just seemed to be like crouched on the floor and turn around looking at them instead of going, I'll get you. And they all like run off again.
I did want the line. I was a bit disappointed they didn't do the line. Like the six of us could put you in a hospital. And then Mike turns up and goes, seven. Just to give Mike something else to do.
Yeah, I don't know how they would have done it. I mean, if it's right that he's not in it until this point in the film, that's true to the book, then maybe it's, I guess, right.
Yeah, he's the last one to meet, and he's homeschooled, so obviously they don't really.
Because he's like the unsolved mysteries Derry history nerd as well, isn't he?
He's the what?
This is like Game of Thrones to me, because I'm a new person coming into this. I haven't read the book. I've only seen the original version last week, and I saw the new one twice over the weekend just passed.
Yeah.
Ben Hanscom, the fat boy, he's the kind of like Derry town history nerd. He knows all the mysteries and the missing this and all the legends and stuff, doesn't he? That originally in the book was Mike, the black kid's
as an
MO.
Adult. His dad's obviously his dad knows a lot. Like the stuff with the black spot where the black nightclub gets burnt down. His dad is the only survivor of that nightclub, and they changed that in the book and killed his mum and dad. Fair enough, whatever.
I mean, if I'm nitpicking something, when they go to the house that's built over now the old mine shaft or the well,
yeah,
that looked like such an obvious like the evil haunted house in town. But I guess because it's Stephen,
I think that's class though, isn't it? That
it is class.
It's like a proper throwback house.
It looked like the haunted mansion at Disneyland Paris. It was
yeah.
But that sequence I thought was really good. I mean, I would have liked to have seen, even if they just. I hope maybe we'll get it in the sequel. Just even like some intonation that the werewolf was in the house as well.
That's who they fought. They fight the werewolf before he retreats.
Yeah.
He attacks him as the werewolf and then they shoot him in the head and he jumps down the toilet.
Okay.
So that's in the book. But I like that, though, because I like that they kept touching on, like,
their personal
the personal fears of class. And
did you see Tim Curry in the house, by the way?
Yes. We'll get to the Easter eggs. I've got a bunch of Easter eggs. I like that it established that Pennywise was trying to divide and conquer. Because in the original, it didn't really touch on that, but it's a big theme of the book. And then Beverly sort of puts the period on it, where she, no pun intended, where she's like, we're stronger together. We can hurt it when we're together. And then once they hurt it, he shits himself. And I thought that was mint.
Yeah.
People have whinged about that. Going, why did he run off all scared? Because think about it, he's never been threatened. In his hundreds and hundreds of years, nobody's ever stood up to him and gone, you know what, mate, fuck you.
Oh, when they put the thing through his head.
Yeah, he's never had to stick up for himself, has he? So he would be scared. I thought it was dead good when he bows and leaves. I thought that was class. I thought it was dead good. But everything in the house, I loved. I loved the bleeding floor with like the acidy blood, because that's in the book. I thought that was class. And
the three doors that say scary, not so scary, and not scary at all. Now,
that was a nice touch. I enjoyed that.
I thought Jaden Liberer, who played Bill Densborough, the young Bill Densborough, he had a good stutter.
And not too obvious, not funny.
Better than adult and seasoned actor at that point, Richard Thomas, John Boy from the Waltons, older listeners out there. His stutter, like, he was better actually than the older version, the 1990 version. But I think, yeah, old kids were just really great. One thing that did distract me actually was the fat kids' nipples. I couldn't stop.
Yeah, where were they?
They were distracting. They were like inverted nipples. Sorry, Hugh.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, where the fuck were your nipples gone, mate?
Jeremy Ray Taylor, Ben Hanscom, the fat boy, yeah.
Apparently the director had to fight for the stutter as well. They didn't want the stutter originally. Anyway, what the fuck do you mean? His name's Stuttering Bill. Why wouldn't we put the stutter in? So I'm glad that stayed in. But yeah, it wasn't too obvious. Like, he stuttered a bit, but like, it wasn't distracting, whereas in the 90s it was laughable at times.
Yeah.
But I'd say some of the CGI wasn't brilliant.
Well, everyone's complaining about this CGI balloon, but I thought it was fine. I didn't notice it wasn't a real balloon. Just like,
I didn't like the weird painting Jewish lady. I didn't think that was brilliant.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I don't know. That was one of the things where I went, ugh. Is there anything else that you didn't like?
Well, I mean, Bill, the black kid who should have been in it more. Mike, sorry, listeners. Now you've explained that. Now it makes sense. I think they've done a better way of doing it, having the kids first than the adults. My future concern is, because this is such a gigantic hit, and this kind of like one of
they're going to cast fucking
Leonardo
DiCaprio.
Yeah, the word of mouth on it now is going to like, oh, Matt Damon wants to be involved. It's like, but if you do that, it won't be scary because you need unknown actors. Because I bought these kids because I'd never seen them before, apart from the Stranger Things kid,
yeah. Who was class, by the way.
Yeah. So, no, I think it was really good. I mean, the only Easter egg apart from Tim Curry, which we're going to point out to anyone that's... I've got a whole
basket of Easter eggs, mate.
The only Easter egg I know is the burning one just before the headless mine boy chased him. what did you think of the sink scene? Because how does the sink scene play out in the book when all the blood kind of shoots out of it? It was very Evil Dead, really, I think, when all the hair shoots out and was wrapping around and trying to pull her into the sink.
Was, weren't it? Yeah. I enjoyed that. I don't know. I thought it was good how they ramped it up. They went, here's a little bit of blood in the TV version. Fuck it. It's a film. Have all the blood in the world. Clean that up.
The cleaning of the bathroom with all the friends while Stranger Things boy kind of kept watch outside, that would have taken days to clean.
Yes, and they wouldn't have cleaned everything. It would have stained the paint.
Yeah.
magic blood or not, you are not getting out of the grout.
Well, blood dries like black or brown, doesn't it? They always forget that in movies. Only it looks effective on screen, but come on. We're going for this constant reality here.
Yeah. I was triggered, though. At one point in the film, I was triggered. Why did Beverly have to be the damsel in distress?
So what happens in the book? Does she not get split apart from the group or captured by it?
No, she's one of the confident ones that's like, yeah, fuck it, let's go to the sewers.
So why do you think they put it in this film version?
To bring them all together, weren't it? Like, they split them up. They couldn't put the orgy thing in. So I was like, okay, how are we going to make all the six boys go back into the house? We'll kidnap the weak. We'll kidnap the girl.
That they all like. Triggered. Yeah. I've seen a lot of online stuff on like Reddit and stuff that people are complaining that it's not set in the 50s. But apart from seeing a car here or there in the street, I mean, this could still be the 50s, couldn't it? I mean,
other than the music, like the Anthrax music. And,
yeah, I mean, they're in T-shirts and shorts, and they're pedaling around on bikes. I mean, only one of them's a 1950s bike, which I guess is a nod to the original book. The maybe
silver,
of the
19... Silver, man, silver. I didn't think it made much of a difference setting it in the 80s. And there was a Batman Easter egg, so fuck you.
What did you feel about the bullies then? Because I kind of missed them getting their... At least the rest of them getting their comeuppance.
Yeah, because nothing really happened to Belch and... Victor Crist, did they?
Yeah, I was going to say Biff Webster then, but that's just the name I made up. It's like, that's a good bully name.
Typical 80s bullies, Biff Webster. I like that, yeah.
New Kids on the Block references?
Love the New Kids on the Block references. Loved all that. There was actual laugh out loud moments as well.
Yeah, the back of the door thing was funny when she kind of like is going to drop him in it and then decides to protect him and just leave the door.
Fucking love New Kids on the Block. Great references. I didn't think they used the bullies that much, but I can see why. Because obviously they wanted the main antagonist to be Pennywise.
Yeah.
But they didn't really use Henry as much as like the series did.
I just think if he'd have been there when he was fighting Mike, is it the black kid? I'm getting better at this, aren't I?
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
And he's got the cattle gun and stuff, blah, blah. The other bullies, the remaining bullies, could have been there. When he got knocked down the shaft, they could have gone down after him, going, "We're going to get you now, you killed our friend." And then it could have got them. Yeah. I don't know, it would have been nice to see the bullies get their kind of just desserts, as it were. But just jump into the leper now, is that it?
Yes.
So can it move around and walk around town if it incarnates in some kind of different form? And it can,
from
it,
what I've...
Can it leave the seer and kind of like look around and like look through the school gates and spot children that it likes and find out where they live and stuff?
It can decide who can and can't see it, because like it can get adults, because in
the mind disaster.
even in the 90s, it when it gets Audra, like it's that man, isn't he? It goes, "Oh, no, don't you want a balloon, miss?" It can get
hang
adults.
On record scratch moment. Bill's wife Audra dies. How did I miss that in the 1990 version?
Nah, she doesn't die. She fucking sees the deadlights, doesn't she? And they have to go and rescue her. And like to make her come out of a comatose state, he rides down a hill really fast on his bike.
Can I ask what the deadlights are? Are they a theme in lots of Stephen King's books?
I think so. I think they referenced that throughout, but it's just these weird orange lights that make you go insane.
Because I'd love to know if the dead zone is the kind of same place the deadlights come from. That's how because he spent some time in there in a coma. Before he comes back and becomes
clairvoyant.
Maybe. Does he have a little piece, taste of that like energy that came off the back of the, yes, folks, the giant turtle that came from the macroverse?
Yeah, boy. Oh, you've been doing your own work. Macroverse.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Very. So if Terry Pratchett was alive, he'd be suing Stephen King, I think. But there we go.
Well, speaking of the turtle, should we do some Easter eggs? Because that's referenced a couple of times. When they're in the pool, whatever that is, like a creek or a river, whatever you want to call it, a turtle touches his leg and they go, "What's that?" "Oh, must be the turtle." It's like, "Oh, there's a reference." The turtle is also a Lego in George's room that he drops. The big Paul Bunyan lumberjack statue, that's in the film. In the book, that comes to life and scares Richie. And my favourite Easter egg was the mural, the painting on the side of the butcher's wall. So I mentioned to you last week that my favourite chapter in the book is about the shootout for the, I think it's the Bradley gang. And it's like a mafia gang that were running Derry. And then all the shop owners and, you know, Mr. Keane, who works in the drugstore, they all come together and just shoot the fuck out of the gang.
When is this? Is this in the It book, or is it just references something that happened?
It's in the book when Mike's going back and researching Derry's history.
So they chase the mafia out of town, basically.
But it's got something to do with it. He sparks the fight because like somebody looks over. Mr. Keane, like they're shooting everybody, and Mr. Keane looks over to a window and standing out of the window with his like Batman and Robin used to walk up the wall,
right?
Sort of standing at that angle, looking and laughing and holding a balloon. He's Pennywise while everybody's shooting each other. And that for some reason that's a visual that sticks in my head, and that's my favourite scene in my favourite chapter in the book.
Because do you think the mafia was some kind of creation of him then? That was another manifestation of his form, just tormenting the town.
I think he just torments the town by doing horrible things and inciting violence, like the explosion, the fire at the Black Spot nightclub. Like, I think he just gets into people's heads, doesn't he, and sort of tells them to do stuff.
What was I going to say? I was going to say, yeah, Paul Bunyan, the person you mentioned, the statue in the movie is actually in Bangor, Maine, the American folklore symbol. That exact statue, that's why it's in there, because that's actually from, not Derry, but it's from Bangor, Maine, where obviously Stephen King lives, and that's where all these horror stories are set.
Yeah, that's why it's in the old book. But the shooting, if you look on the side of the butcher's wall, there's a mural of a painting with like dead gangsters lying on the floor.
Right.
And it's got like, this person died, this person died, this person died. And it's the fucking, the Bradley gang, they're called. But that, when I saw that, that was class. Because it was nothing, but it was a nice little Easter egg for people that have read the book and gone, oh, I recognise that.
Yeah.
That was one of my favourite things of the film.
Just for my own thing, this giant space turtle comes out of the macroverse, creates our universe or a galaxy, right?
Uh-huh.
One of the negative aspects of the turtle is this dark energy.
Pennywise.
And yes. A piece. Now, is he just as equally as powerful as a turtle? Is he just some kind of like tiny little piece that broke off of dark energy, as it were, that just found its way in Derry? He's like a sub-demon or a sub-entity.
Yeah, he's not as powerful, but the turtle can't get rid of it, and it can't get rid of the turtle.
But these kids get rid of it, right? Because let's go like to the end now. They basically one thing I didn't like, I think, because Pennywise has been used sparingly. It just becomes this like fight and duke out match in the end, where they're just hitting him and stuff. It lost its power the same way in the second part of the 1990 TV version. They just fight a giant spider by hitting it and things.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He lost his power of fear, didn't he? They weren't scared of him anymore.
Yeah. So at that point, wouldn't the creature or it just come out as this evil entity and just surely Pennywise would have more tricks up his sleeve and have more power than merely being in the form of the clown?
Well, maybe he's never had to use it before.
Okay.
That's what I got from it. Like, they beat the shit out of it and he was like, oh, fuck this, and he ran off. And then obviously when he comes back, I imagine he's going to be more of a bastard.
Yeah.
And then he's got this ace up his sleeve. He's like, yeah, you want to beat me up? Fuck you. I'm going to turn into this weird crab.
So in the... Let's go back to the book just before we wrap up and we come to the end of the book. When they fight for the second time, did they interpret the TV version at the end when the adults kill the giant crab claymation stop-motion Harryhausen spider? Is that what is in the book, pretty much?
No. Bill goes into the macroverse...
Okay, his consciousness.
He stares into the deadlights. His conscious. I think it's the macroverse. His consciousness goes into wherever to find it, and he repeats. He thrusts his fist into the post and says, "He sees the ghost," and it can't handle that. So he repeats it, and then it offers them all nice lives, which he did in this version when he grabs Bill by the face.
Yeah, let me eat Bill so I can go and hibernate with this one last meal, and you can go.
Yeah, and you'll all have happy lives. He does that when they're adults. Like he says, I'll let you all live happy lives. Just leave me alone, basically. But then Bill obviously goes, nah, fam. So the ending to the book isn't fucking brilliant. So it'd be interesting to see what they do. But one thing that I do know that the director tried to put in, there's a really weird Indian smoke ritual scene where they've got a clubhouse as well in the book, which wasn't in the film. They've got like an underground clubhouse that they dig themselves. And then Ben reads something, whereas if you do like an Indian ritual where you burn something, you burn a certain type of material, if you stay in the smoke long enough, you'll get visions. And these visions will help you see what you need to see.
Smoking weed.
So they all sit. Oh, fucking, yeah. And Stephen King doing lots of cocaine. They all sit, obviously, in the clubhouse and the smoke's burning. Hardly any of them can handle it. And it's only Mike and Richie who last. And then they have this vision, the same vision, where they go to Derry before it's ending.
Sure.
Like the land before time. And they see it land on Earth. And that's how they know that to defeat it, they need to do this thing called Chud.
Cannibalistic underground humanoid dweller, the 1984 film about homeless people who are infected by toxic waste and then become cannibalistic monsters. Great movie.
Yeah, or it's something to do with grabbing it by its tongue.
Okay.
So Ben, in his mind, Bill has to latch onto its tongue and then say something.
Okay. Does it arrive in a spaceship in this primordial version of Derry? Or does it just arrive as this big light or something? Or how does it...
I can't remember. I think it just crash lands. I'm assuming it's got some sort of aircraft.
Right.
I can't remember. But yeah, I know that the director wanted that in the film, but they went, no, we haven't got the budget. So
well, probably maybe they're seeing the second one then.
I don't know. Maybe there's a flashback, maybe, but
so chud means yank on my tongue and make me laugh.
It's like sort of grab it by the tongue and then do something, and it's just weird. Would you fucking kick it in the bollocks?
Well, that's the name of
kick
the ritual.
It in its dick.
So just for me, what are the dead lights then? Are they the things that are in the when his head opens up like Beetlejuice and he kind of hypnotizes Beverly. Are those three lights? Are those the dead lights, or is that a window into that realm? Okay. And what are the dead lights for a Stephen King non-nerd like me?
It's just a form of energy that drives you insane.
Okay.
That's about the basic enough version.
And so the human mind can't handle it because it's just too much, but only certain people can. Bill being one of them, I guess, and he faces off Pennywise.
Yeah.
Get in, avenging the death of his little brother.
Yes.
So
one last thing I did know, and this is just me being a fucking nerd. Do you know when they all give each other love at the end and they're all like swapping AIDS and stuff with the cuts?
Yeah, that was a big thing, Doobie Blood Brothers. I did it. Little cut on your finger there.
You've probably got HIV. when they leave, look at the order in which they leave the group.
Yeah.
Stan leaves first, then Eddie leaves, and then it sort of just fades out until you've got Bill and Beverly. But like Stan leaves first, Stan's the first one to die, then Eddie dies. So that's a nice little nod to Stan's still going to die. So that was a nice little thing. I thought, oh, that's clever. I like that they've done that.
I noticed how Beverly, when like she was literally her life was saved by true love's kiss, like Sleeping Beauty by Fatboy, he wrote her the poem. And at the very end, after all they've been through, she still goes, yeah, I'm not a chubby chaser. She sticks with Bill. It's like,
yeah, don't want it, mate. Yeah, your tits are too big for me, mate. It's
a typical woman. Poor
bigger
fat
tits than her. So.
Poor fat boy. I was going to say, have you heard of a film called The Blob? There are two versions of it. There's a 1950s version with Steve McQueen, and there's a 1988 version with Kevin Dillon, Matt Dillon's brother. I will put that up with The Fly as a film that is shocking, pulls no punches, is gross. It comes out 30 years, in fact, I think 30 years exactly after as the remake, and it's got an original, which is obviously twee and a bit cute, but the remake is The Fly level of goodness in my personal
Kevin
opinion.
Kevin Dillon, as in Entourage.
Yeah, there you go. That's a better reference.
Nice.
I might send you a copy of that, perhaps for out, because listeners, we're going to do like a, even though we've just done constant horror films, even if I'm not even the co-host, it's someone else, they've done The Thing or etc. We're going to do more horror and have a Halloween horror season all through October, basically. So I'd like to nominate, if you've not seen it, The Blob as one of those films.
Okay. I've heard good things about it, so yeah, definitely, definitely.
Next time, the heartwarming children's film, The Dead Zone by Stephen King, will, I think, be next week's episode, even though it was meant to be this week's. But because It came out, we did that. But yeah, I thought It's 2017.
Yeah, final thoughts.
I thought it's fantastic. It really was. This Andrew guy, I think he should, when he gets It 2 out of the way, I'd like to see him tackle something else. I think if this guy had made Super 8 or something E.T.-like or was trying to go for that feeling, this is the
guy. They'll remake E.T. eventually. Ethan to that.
This is the go-to guy for that kind of thing, I think.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely.
No, 11 out of 10. I loved it. I've not had such a good experience in a cinema for a really long time. I think I can't remember it. Something actually. I think Logan was good. That was probably one of the better films of the year. But
I'd stick with you there.
I'd say this is the movie of the year so far. And we're only halfway through, folks.
Nice. I'd say that as well. I have got It's a Wonderful Coming of Age, nostalgia driven horror adventure movie that is as unsettling as it is charming. Oh, put that in your fucking paper.
Ooh, he's waxing. See, you did the prose this time. I thought it was really good. I thought the cast were perfect. I liked that I hadn't seen them in anything before, bar one. That helped. Yeah. I would have liked to, if I go back in time now and not see 1990s It and watch this and see, I wonder what my reaction would be had I not had it, the Tim Curry version to marry it up to.
Maybe, yeah, maybe.
Because this film throws that version into a cocked hat, even though that's truer to the book, I understand.
I'd say this was truer to the book.
Yeah?
Well, for the kids' parts. So what do you say to all these people that don't rate the film?
I don't...
People are saying it wasn't scary enough.
I don't know what.
I think it suffers a little bit from the hype.
I think people. I think the word of mouth. People are going to go in with like high expectations now. I think if you go in thinking you're going to go and watch a Steven Spielberg movie with a few jumps in it, you'll be very happy. I think the depiction of Pennywise was really, really cool.
Yes.
I think it was scary. I'm not sure. There's two kinds of horror films. There's the kind of invasion of the body snatchers thing, where it's kind of an unsettling atmosphere that stays with you for days, and your skin crawls. Go, wow. What if I was in that reality? It'd be horrifying. Or The Thing, even, like the paranoia and weirdness of that.
Yeah.
Or this kind of jump scare films now. And as you said, there's this kind of like gamut of like Insidious and Annabelle. Yeah,
it's a thing at the minute.
So I don't know. I think it's better than those because it's got characters that you care about and all that's handled really well. I think without that, it wouldn't have been as good. So I think the strongest aspect is the cast and the Spielberginess to it. Also, I was going to say the score was really good.
People have fucking bitched about that as well. They said it wasn't striking enough and it didn't set the mood properly.
I don't know. I think people are still hanging on to this. Oh, it's a remake of the Tim Curry version because everyone loves Tim Curry. I don't know. It didn't do anything for me. I appreciate what Tim Curry was trying to do, but it was literally him with white face on.
Then going, bleh.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm sure.
Favorite
scene, the start scene when it was like, God, they're going all in for this, just bit a kid's arm off. Amazing. I liked the chase around the library with the headless boy, and I liked the haunted house bit.
The house was dead good.
I think the best scene was perhaps when they were in the jumping off the cliff in the reservoir.
Oh, when they were all being friendly and being kids and
Look, I know it was kids in their underwear and however old she was, but I think the way they shot that and the way they were all obviously like obsessed for this girl, and I think she was very good acting and she was very charming. I think the lake scene was good when it was all a kind of stolen looks and you kind of knew who had the hots for who or who had a crush on someone.
Yeah.
So I think those little subtle character moments when she was talking to him about the play and she quoted the poem to Bill and he's like, what are you talking about? And then Fat Boy saw it and was like, oh, I'm
Fat Boy.
She's still not going to fuck me.
Where are your nipples, big boy?
Oh, you know what the best scene was? I take it back when he didn't have his yearbook signed and then it was her signing his only signature and it was just his eyes looking over the book and you could tell what he was thinking. That was the best bit. There you go.
What was he thinking?
Just, who is this chick? I'm in love. She's amazing. Someone's given me some warmth or friendship or attention. I'm the new boy. Everyone treats me like shit. I'm the hottest girl in school as signing my yearbook.
Nice. Beverly.
Beverly, yeah.
I like the projector bee. That's my favourite bee.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
That was the most insidious bit.
Yeah, I know, but it was just horrible. I knew he was going to jump out because I just knew he was going to jump out. And it didn't make me jump, but like, I don't know, seeing everybody around me shit themselves was just class. Class. And I took my missus to see it today and she fucking shit her pants. I tried to record her, but you can't fucking see her very well. But she, as he came jumping out, she went, so yeah, very, 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 very good film. And I will see this again.
It was very good. 100%. So yeah, listeners, go out and see it. Don't have your expectations too high. If you want to temper them, find, download, look on your bookshelf.
Yeah, watch the 90s version.
Watch the 90s version, or at least the first half, because that will bring you up to speed with this film. Then you can go in thinking, oh, this is going to be shitty, and you'll meet
someone. That's not a bad show. Watch part one.
Yeah, I think, I do wonder if I'd not seen that last week, would this be some generic, it's pretty good. But I would put it up against Shawshank and Green Mile as like the best, and The Dead Zone as the better the best Stephen King adaptions. And I think now we're seeing this renaissance in Stephen King. Now they've got the technology, I think, and the money. And now with this film being a big hit, the interest, you'll see a lot more Stephen King properties being made, like The Mist is now a TV series. I think
What's that Castle Rock thing they're doing? What's that one?
Castle Rock is a shared universe TV show, which will be set, I'm not sure if it's set in Derry or not. I know Mark Bernardin, Kevin Smith's Fat Man and Batman co-host, is now one of the writers on, but you'll have a town where it's the town Christine will be driving by. There might be a story involving or alluding to Christine. It's just, it's the the Stephen King-iverse all in one town. So maybe there'll be an incident at Salem's Lot and they'll have to drive through the town and go there. And maybe I think it's like a what did they call it? An anthology, really, of different stories set in the Stephen King universe, specifically in Maine, where all this stuff happens, as all the films do. You know, maybe we'll see just better and correct Stephen King adaptions now. They've got the technology. This proves there's now a market for it. Nearly 200 million in 1 week. That's gigantic.
Stephen King is brilliant through a filter.
Yeah.
So this just proves it now. Like you said, it's a gigantic hit. I think it's beat Deadpool.
It has, yeah. Biggest R-rated film ever. So
there you go.
It too will be coming out, and then hopefully we'll get...
Cast Seth Green has grown up, Richie. Go on, you know, Dewey.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the sequel will certainly come under fire because it won't live up to this. If it's the same director, but yeah, when everyone has fallen in love with these characters, these children, when it's like, oh, like you said, it's Seth Green as this person and bloody blah, you're going to go, oh, then now they're fighting the clown. I don't know. How are they going to make it different with just the clown popping up over and over again?
Just make it scare. They're going to have to ramp up the scares. They're going to have to.
Yeah. He's obviously had time to think about it in the last 27 years, Pennywise, of like not to let certain things happen.
Pissed off, isn't he? He's fucking pissed off. He calls them back. So we'll see.
He wants his showdown. So hopefully we'll have a second, an Aliens to Alien that people argue is a better sequel than the other. Hopefully with this.
Oh, just more fucking, more things.
Yeah.
Fuck, that'd be mean. He's the last of his kind now, allegedly. So we'll see.
But yeah, go out and see it, folks. I think you'll really like it. Don't get your hopes up too high. As you know, whenever you do that, of course, with films, it never lives up to the hype. But it 2017 for me, I think, was a 9 out of 10 film. I felt something in the cinema watching it. I was scared in parts. The look of it was good. It was well shot. The set pieces, the clown was cool.
Yes.
All the deaths were good.
His blood floated. Brilliant. Brilliant. Tremendous little tiny thing that I just went, nice.
So next week we'll have, hopefully, another Stephen King adaption, The Dead Zone.
Boy. Yeah, boy.
And then we're just going to hit
you. They float.
They float as Pennywise. And then we're just going to hit you over the head with more repeated horror movies throughout October until you're sick of them. We'll probably do something like, I don't know, Baby, The Search for the Lost Legend, the 1984 failed Disney film about a rubber dinosaur. Think about it.
I mean, right then. Ethan McKinley, just shoot your shit. Let everyone know where to find you.
You can find me, Ethan McKinley UK, on Twitter. You can listen to my trying to get another guest on my show, Questionable. You can type in Questionable EMC. You'll find that on iTunes, or you can, if you like listening to me, there's 300 or 400 episodes of 2 Minute Terminator, where I break down the Terminator films 2 minutes at a time, all 5 movies at 2 Minute Terminator on iTunes or on YouTube. It's a YouTube channel too.
Yay! Yeah, find the show at Was It Worth It Pod on the Twitter. Find the Master Debaters podcast at _MasterDebaters. We are also on Facebook. Just like the shit, like the videos, tell your friends. The It 1990 episode has done marvellously, so let's hope this one carries that on. What did you give it out of 10?
8 or 9.
Okay, I'll give it a...
I've seen it twice. I wasn't bored the second time around either. So yeah,
it's getting a 9 for me. It's getting a 9. And, solid 9.
And I'd give the TV version 3. Maybe 4.
So, yeah. Peace, bitches.
Peace out. Thanks. Love you. Bye.